Hello, dear listeners. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. And this is Show Do's and Don'ts with DJ Double M. So this is my first show, and it is really exciting to have this opportunity. I'm really glad you joined me on this wonderful Tuesday morning. So on my show, I will be discussing everything from relationships and family to traveling and also college life from a student's perspective. I myself just recently came to America from Europe and pretty much left my entire life over there. Even though my case is a bit unusual, I believe that all people, especially college students, can relate themselves to today's first topic, which is distant relationships. Based on my personal experience so far, nowadays people rarely choose to be committed if they are separated by a long distance. Unless it's a really romantic case or a movie. However, it can be really hard to leave someone we care about. I will begin by discussing what one should do if one chooses to be in a distant relationship. So, I think all of you will agree that today a lot of people don't even bother labeling or naming their relationships. They're usually defining them by saying, we'll see how it goes, or we're together, without clarifying their expectations or boundaries. So the first thing you should do if you decide to continue your relationship from afar is to put all the dots in places. The only way to do that is to ask some questions. That might be a little awkward, but in the end, it'll pay off, because whatever the answer, at least you're not going to have to wake up every morning thinking about what was bothering you. So, firstly, you should ask the other person to define your relationship. What is it? Is it dating? Or are you guys just seeing each other? Do you call yourself boyfriend and girlfriend? And are you exclusive? If the answer is not satisfying, the next step you should do is to simply state what you are expecting to get out of the relationship. What do you want from it? And what status would satisfy you? So if you decide to be in a distant relationship after all, the second thing I would offer for couples is do not limit yourselves with only simple phone calls. They say that a strong relationship is not when partners are looking at each other, but when they are looking the same way. In other words, when they have common interests. This might be a trite saying, but it holds a huge amount of truth. So I would recommend to try watching a movie simultaneously or reading the same book before bedtime. You can even do that while you're talking on the phone. There also might be some more interesting ways of communication. For example, if you usually text message or Facebook message during the day, try writing an email while your partner is busy, or overnight while he or she is asleep if the time at your and your partner's locations differ. Another old-fashioned but really romantic way is to actually write a real letter. Imagine that, how romantic it would be, like the waiting, and it would be really exciting to get it and unwrap it. Find creative ways to bond. One of my close friends and his girlfriend had their alarm clocks set at the same time, so every day, no matter where or with who they would be, it would go off and remind them of each other. You should not give in for the temptation to be controlling. Do not control. A distant relationship can be especially difficult for jealous people or for those who like to be in control all the time. Intimacy is a big part, maybe even the biggest part, of a relationship, and distance can be frightening because of limiting it. However, you should try to avoid raising conflict because of a couple of simple reasons. First of all, it is never good to over-control. An attempt to know every step your partner takes with who he or she is and why would be rather annoying than implied as a sign of care or love. Baseless jealousness is never pleasant, and it can highly affect the ground of every relationship, which is trust. So it's logical. If you don't trust your partner, why would he or she trust you? After all, we all judge others based on ourselves. Anyway, if your partner wants to cheat, he or she can do that even if you guys live together, even if only a couple of miles are separating you. It doesn't depend on the distance between your physical bodies. It's all about your moral closeness and feelings to one another. If your relationship is not meant to last, you are not going to change it, even if you stick around for 24 hours, 7 days a week. The most important do not of today's show is do not be negative. It's not the end of the world. Some distant relationships actually turn out to be beneficial. And I bet you'll agree that it is always great to see your sweetheart after a long time apart. Distance, as well as time, is one of those things that sorts out what's real and what's not. It might make your relationship even stronger, or it might show you that it wasn't meaningful or as meaningful as you thought it was. It might not be meant to last, but even in that way, it's better to know sooner than later. You'll save time. Another trick to make your relationship easier at the time you spend apart shorter is to set goals, for example, to lose weight and exercise. This way you would have more topics for conversations, wouldn't get monotonous, and a more pleasant and beneficial activity than downloading the day count app to your phone and staring at it every second. So that's that. And now, since we still have time, I'm going to talk a little bit about the most romantic and probably the most nerve-wracking holiday, which is Valentine's Day. It is coming soon. Actually, it is this Friday. I bet you all know it. And there is nowhere to run or hide. Personally, I like the holiday, but I hate those couple of weeks of preparation before it. Everyone's so stressed, looking for gifts. The markets are, you know, full of hearts and sweet stuff. And yeah, being single before Valentine's Day isn't the best thing. All my single girlfriends are like, oh my God, I want to shoot those couples in the face. Let's eat chocolate and do facials and drink and watch romantic movies and other girly stuff. And about my taken girlfriends, I don't even know what to say because they literally disappear from the face of the planet. They're not there. And the guys, I feel sorry for the guys because it's probably Valentine's Day probably means having a financial crisis to every guy while trying to figure out what their girlfriends want for it and what would be, you know, good enough. Probably Valentine's Day is an actual holiday only to single guys. A lot of single disappointed girls out there waiting for a shoulder to cry on. That's a good opportunity. Single guys should just go to a club. If I were a guy, I would just do that. So a couple of do's to ease your headaches before Valentine's Day. While girls are busy with their facials, I'm going to teach the guys some easy tricks. So if you're a guy and if you're struggling before Valentine's Day and cannot even imagine what your girlfriend would like to get, ask her. But no, not straightforward. Be wise. Tell her that you've already bought her a gift for Valentine's Day and let her guess what it is. She'll automatically list the things she's expecting to get and, you know, what would be the present for her. So yeah, this trick worked on me for like 2 years. It's a good trick. Another advice coming from a girl is to get her flowers. Even if your girl says that she hates flowers, even if she says she doesn't want any, that's a lie. Every girl deserves a little bit of romance once in a while. And chocolate is always good too. You cannot lose with chocolate. Personally, I would expect something sweet and little, even if just a simple gift card saying something nice or a framed picture of, let's say, the place where you first met. That would be a good idea. After all, Valentine's Day represents care and love and respect. And it's not meant to show your bank account stability to your girlfriend. And, well, who needs a gold digger anyways? So, about Valentine's dates. If you don't come up with an original idea, just take her out on a simple date. Tell her to wear something nice. It's always fun for a girl to have an occasion to put on a fancy dress, high heels, do her makeup. These procedures are like, you know, nerve-calming procedures to us. And it's really enjoyable. I know for guys it might be difficult to understand, but it's true. So, or if you decide to stay in, just cook her dinner. Even if you're not a good chef, I'm sure she'll appreciate your effort. And if worst comes to worst, you both are going to have a good laugh. Last time I tried to cook something, I cut my finger. And actually, it wasn't even cooking. I was trying to cut a tomato. So yeah, not everyone is successful in the kitchen, but it's still a great time. So, and as for girls, what can I say? Guys are guys. It's not too hard to make them happy, and all of us girls have our own specific ways of doing that. Some of my friends are getting their boyfriends expensive watches. Some of them are getting only simple cards. But if you're not one of them, there are always original ways. If you're an artsy person, you should make something by hand, like draw a nice drawing or that would represent some part of your relationship. Or, for example, the thing that I once did is I cleaned a simple glass jar and cut a bajillion small pieces of colorful paper and wrote something on each, every one of them. Then I folded them, rolled them together and tied them up and put them all into the glass jar. And as for the text inside, those were like my and my ex-boyfriend's common shared memories, our future plans, goals, like dialogue, you know, like dialogue things, small interpretations and fragments of our relationship. So you can always figure out something nice to write. And the basic idea is that this is a daily treat. Your boyfriend is supposed to pick one of those small letters every day and read them in the morning to make his day better. So yeah, we're running out of time. We're about to take a break. And I hope this helped. Relationships are a really broad topic and it's really intimate and, you know, personal. So don't take every advice for granted. And I'll meet you after the break.
Stood stone like at midnight, suspended in my masquerade, and I combed my hair till it was just right, and commanded the night brigade. I was open to pain and crushed by the rain, and I walked on a crooked crutch. I strode all along to a fallout zone, came out with my soul untouched. Growing up.
mast. My sails were set wing to wing. I had a jukebox graduate for first mate. She couldn't sail, but she sure could sling. And I pushed B-52 to and bombed them with the blues. With my gear set stubborn on standing, I broke all the rules, straight my old high school. Month-long vacations in the stratosphere, and you know it's really hard to hold your breath. Swear I lost everything I ever loved to fear. I was a cosmic kid in full costume dress, but my feet, they finally took root in the air. But I got me a nice little place in the stars, and I swear I found the key to the universe in the engine of an old parked car.
Hello everyone, welcome back. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. For those who just tuned in, I was talking about do's and don'ts of distant relationships. And one of those do's I mentioned was that one way to make the time pass faster and easier is to set goals, such as to lose weight and work out and be healthier. That is kind of what I've been lately up to, and I happen to read a lot about proper diet and exercise techniques. And since the summer is coming, I figured that this might be a more or less of a relevant topic to all of us. So we all know that sweets, Big Macs, and fries are fattening and bad for us. And we also know that exercising is healthy and that it helps to lose unwanted pounds. This is true, but it's not all one must know in order to lose weight fast and effectively. After my research, I discovered that many parts of a diet can easily be overlooked because not all the foods that are considered to be healthy actually are. Furthermore, they can even make you chubbier. So let's talk about this. First of all, you probably all know how important is it to eat three meals a day, and it is even healthier if the servings of what you eat aren't big. It is better to have a little snack between your meals than to eat several huge ones. The perfect diet is based on natural, genetically unmodified products. On a radio show I heard last week, a qualified nutritionist said that the best diet of all is to eat what you want and when you want. Now, the confusing part about this was that it doesn't mean you're supposed to stuff yourself five times a day with Big Macs and cheeseburgers and fries. What she meant was that we usually eat not because we're actually hungry, but because food is alluring most of the time just because of its taste, not necessity. According to her, it takes time for us to realize that we are full. The advice was to eat slower and take a 15-minute break in the middle of the meal. After it, we might not feel hungry anymore. Our bodies are amazingly complex and they need to maintain a proper nutrition. Starving diets are never a good idea because they misbalance our metabolism and it can result in even gaining weight instead of losing it. However, there are products we should try to avoid under any circumstances, and this can be shocking news because I'm going to talk about burgers and muffins. I'm going to start with a surprise. So according to Christy Jacobs, who is a certified nutritionist, there are five foods to avoid on a daily basis. Foods that you've been constantly told are healthy for you actually can increase weight gain, especially around your belly, and no one wants that, and also cause other serious health problems. This might be shocking because it was even for me, even though I thought I knew enough about nutrition. Certain genetically modified foods can cause hormonal imbalances and therefore keep the fat on. So the first and the most surprising thing to avoid is actually not even a food. It is a drink that you probably drink every day for, you know, a good morning. Concentrated orange juice. Would you have guessed that? Most concentrated juices such as orange, cranberry, or apple can cause problems around the waistline. You're probably wondering, but fruits are good for us. How does fruit juice differ from fruit? So the problem here is not the fruit, but how they are concentrated into juice, the ways they do that. Many well-known companies remove the nutritious elements and fiber out of the fruit while concentrating them. And with the fiber taken out, we are pretty much left with simple sugar water. When your blood sugar is too high, your body switches into fat storing mode. And this means that anything you eat a while after drinking it will be stored as fat. Blood sugar levels are directly related to insulin levels, and insulin is also known as a fat-storing hormone. It is unbelievable but scientifically proven that most juices have as much or even more sugar than a soda does. Processed soy, soy milk, and tofu are also bad for you. It all comes down to processing. Many soy products are highly processed, and 91% of soy grown in the U.S. is genetically modified. It's 91%. Says Jacobs, and Dr. Kayla Daniel, author of The Whole Soy Story, adds to that by showing thousands of studies linking to soy malnutrition, digestive distress, immune system breakdown, thyroid dysfunction, infertility, and even cancer and heart disease. According to her, these products can cause kidney stones and severe or potentially fatal food allergies. Another healthy-looking but actually bad-for-you food is usually eaten at barbecues, and it's really good fried. It is genetically modified corn. According to the popular saying, we are what we eat. If we eat GMOs, we are literally genetically modifying our bodies. Therefore, these products, GMO products, are banned in many other countries. You should also avoid margarine, or rather choose butter. Margarine, like many oils, has trans fats, which not only makes you gain weight, but also increases your cholesterol levels and can even end up by building a plaque in your arteries. No one wants that. Another useful tip, as Jacob said, is to exchange whole wheat bread for whole grain bread because it has less carbs. Also, I'm going to share with you a couple of good habits that I've already developed and can assure are helpful. So, you should drink 2 cups of cold water every morning. It will decrease your appetite and increase your metabolism. It is also a really good idea to exchange milkshakes and frappuccinos to green tea. It's as tasty and also, like water, increases metabolism. Let's end this segment with a couple of interesting facts about calories. So, an interesting fact might be that everyone's favorite Starbucks new caramel flan latte that looks really alluring has 330 calories, 120 of which are those from fat. We're talking about a grande-sized cup with 2% milk. 330 calories is what you burn after running for a half an hour at the gym at a normal rate. This is also shocking when compared to foods. For example, a regular-sized Caesar salad with crispy chicken has only 296 calories. Another surprise. Apparently, low-fat products doesn't mean low calories. Here's an eye-opener. 2 tablespoons of fat-reduced peanut butter gives you 187 calories. The same amount of regular has 191 calories. So the difference is only 4 calories. Is that worth it? Half a cup of fat-free vanilla frozen yogurt contains 100 calories compared to 104 of the same amount of regular. So it's really not worth to eat less tasty products. Counting calories requires more accuracy than it seems. You cannot always trust Google. According to a 2010 survey by the International Food Information Council Foundation, only 11% of Americans can accurately estimate the number of calories they should consume daily for someone, their age, height, and weight, and amount of physical activity. You have to know all the stuff all the stuff to be able to count your calories. It's easy to be fooled by food labels, and some snacks and snack foods may look like a portion for one person, but it lists calorie count based on 3 servings. That means you are getting a triple dose of calories that you expect from eating only one portion. For foods like potato or corn chips, a serving size may be as little as 1 ounce, and only a few of us have the willpower to stop after such a little amount of it. Well, it's good. It's addictive. Everyone loves chips. What can I say? I have to disappoint all of those who, exactly like I used to, leave the gym proud of themselves, thinking that they know exactly how many calories they've burned during the workout. Exercise machines lie about calories. Do not trust them. Don't count on your treadmill to tell you how many calories you're burning. A study from the University of California, San Francisco, found that on average, exercise machines overestimate calories burned by 19%. The errors ranged from 7% on a stationary bike to 42% on an elliptical machine, and that is a lot. You don't want to trust them. For a more accurate count, experts suggest entering a slightly lower weight. You can also get a rough estimate of how many calories you're burning per mile of running by multiplying your weight by 0.75. Multiply your weight by 0.53 for an estimate of calories burned per mile of walking. And a fun fact for Valentine's Day. Kissing burns 2 calories per minute, so says Brian Stanford, PhD professor and director of the Health Promotion Center at the University of Louisville. However, we must not forget that everyone has a different day calorie limit, and if you want to know yours, you're going to need 2 things, your height and your weight. You can count your daily calories on www.fitnessmagazine.com. It's www.fitnessmagazine.com. Type my daily calorie needs to each search section and go for it. Of course, healthy diet and nutrition are very important in order to be energetic, happy, and thin. But if you want to get your summer body on, you also need to work out. Results might come slowly, but I think you will all agree that slow progress is better than no progress at all. If you lack motivation, try imagining yourself after 6 months looking amazing. And remember, don't give up what you want the most for what you want now. Okay, and we are running out of time again. I'll hope to meet you after the break when I will be discussing study tips. I bet this topic will be relevant to all of us. See you after the break. When you walk by, I try to say it, but then I freeze. I never do it. My tongue gets tight, the words get trapped.
See you with him. So
Hello again and welcome back. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, and I'm DJ Double M, and this is my show Do's and Don'ts. In the last two segments, I have already discussed and gave tips on distant relationships and health. If you tuned in just now, congratulations, you're on the right time to hear about college. But don't be disappointed, I'm going to talk about studying tips and tricks, and this might actually be useful and ease your reading nights a bit. Practice, practice, and once again, practice. We all probably heard these words a million times in high school. The right way to study, according to the most teachers, was to dedicate and lock yourself into a quiet room or a closet, sit there until all the books are read and all the pens are out of ink. Well, guess what? That is by far not the only way to reach great academic results. Recently, the New York Times reported that many of these study ways are scientifically unsound and that some strategies don't deserve to be looked down on. So the first advice would be to never underestimate your classmates or peers, especially when you're working through a difficult problem set or reading an assignment. Study groups is a wonderful idea because you are more concentrated. It is always healthy to conquer with one another, if we're talking about studying, of course. If you try this out, you're going to notice that your attention levels have risen and that you also save some time because you can always split and divide assignments to different people, and after you've all done with your work, share it with the rest of the group. This way, by repeating the information, you kind of become a teacher for a second, and this is one of the best ways to learn easily and quickly. My second advice might sound childish or even funny for a college student, but we all surely know its effectiveness. Good old flashcards. Have they ever disappointed you? Writing notes and definitions more than once will help to imprint information to your memory, and you can always mark cards with associative verses or draw a picture that would remind you of the thing you have to remember to make the process even easier. Just use flashcards. This method can also be used in a study group. Turn it into a fun game. Why study boringly when we can study fun? Do not run from a test. I know how alluring is it, believe me. As much as we hate them, the New York Times reports that formal evaluations not only affirm knowledge but enhance it. Consistent testing can help us relearn and recall information, and it plays off when preparing for final exams too. And I also have to mention that sleep is one of the primarily important steps that are need to be taken before taking a serious and important test in order to succeed. Get enough sleep. Don't drink Red Bull. In order to fall asleep faster and easier, lower the air temperature of your room. Open a window. It helps. The other step is to have a couple of pieces of dark chocolate in the morning before the test. It is based on scientific experiments that dark chocolate can increase your brain work effectiveness. This is a yummy way to study. So nowadays it's popular for students to categorize themselves as visual or auditory learners and for being left-brained or right-brained thinkers and so on. You know what I'm talking about. According to the New York Times, research has shown that these distinctions are not as beneficial as some might think. It is more important to figure out which study strategies work for you than to worry about where you lie on the learning spectrum. We're human beings, not machines, and we never truly know what works for us until we actually try it. So just try it. Do pay attention and participate in the classroom. Also, avoid missing classes. The professor might mention something important or something that is going to be on the test. This way you will start your test preparation as early as possible. Always take notes for a particular class in the same notebook. Spiral-bound notebooks were invented because they solve the problem of keeping related related information consolidated in one place. Take advantage of this. Also, it's a good idea to date each entry into your notebook so you wouldn't have to look for, you know, for the information all over it. You might find it useful to have a second color pen or a pencil available for highlighting important ideas or indicating vocabulary. This is one way I always use, and it's really, really helpful. Quality over quantity is another important do. Rather than sticking to one subject and spending hours and hours attempting to master it, you should switch between a few related topics. It's less boring, and you are going to learn more. After all, we are the multifunctional generation, and it's kind of inborn for us to multifunction. Do not miss a deadline. This might sound stupid, but the only thing worse than actually having a deadline is to miss one. Stay organized, start filling in a day planner, use your phone and set reminders, or stick colorful notes to your fridge or your wall or in the bathroom. Just do whatever not to miss the deadline. The worst feeling in the world is the feeling of losing control over your own time. So I have a question for you. How many of you review the material that you learned in class right after the class? I bet not a lot. That should become your new habit, because it's scientifically proven that we memorize the information better if we review it right after class. Research has shown that reviewing new material within 24 hours after hearing it increases your retention of that material by about 60%, and that's a lot. This means that you will be 60% ahead of the game the next time you walk into class. You will know more and easier. You're not going to have to sit for 3 hours to memorize it like after a week after the class. So try this. You should start out by studying the most important information, and while doing that, take short breaks. You will learn best at the beginning of your studying and at the end also. The middle information should be not as important. Also, a good idea is to space out your studying. You'll learn more by studying a little every day instead of doing all the work in one day. The day before thing doesn't work, ever. We all know that. We all do. To make the studying process easier on the weekends, reward yourself. After you're done with your studies, go out and have fun and relax. Don't study later than you usually go to sleep. Instead, try studying in the afternoon or early evening or in the morning if you're a morning person, which I'm definitely not. So, understand your study topics in your own words. Your teacher or lecturer can explain something to you. You can learn it from a textbook. Your friends can study with you. Even your own notes can explain it to you. All these explanations are of little use if, by the end, you cannot explain what you have learned to yourself. If you don't understand a study concept that you need to illustrate in an exam to get top results, you cannot succeed. And you're not going to be happy with your result. Try rewriting the information and memorizing it then in your own words. Another really good idea is to quiz yourself. It takes time, but it's worth it. Once you feel you understand the concept or a topic, it is important to test yourself on it. Try and replicate exam conditions as much as possible. Turn off your phone, don't talk, time yourself, don't use Facebook, etc. This will give you a very good idea of how much you know and what are your weak parts and what you should improve and pay more attention to. Be aware of the appearance of the work you give in. Your teacher may find it irrespectful if your paper isn't clear and tidy, and this might reflect on your grade. Never turn in a paper written in a pencil. Your paper represents the quality of your work, and always remember to read your paper for silly mistakes, because we all make them. A comma and, you know, a misspellage mistake could decrease your grade, and that would be a pity. And okay, so what you should do if you freak out before an exam. Surprise, cry. 88.8% of people feel better after crying. And, well, some more pleasant ways to reduce stress might be taking a bath. Since ancient times, hydrotherapy has been practiced for its healing and restorative powers. To make your tub time extra therapeutic, sprinkle in a hand of bath salts, turn down the lights, turn on some relaxing, nice music that you like, and light an aromatherapy candle. That will surely reduce your stress. And one way that I always use for stress reducement is exercise. Even if that's the last thing you feel like doing at the moment, One of the quickest, most effective ways to reduce stress is to exercise. You've heard of runner's high, right? The high comes from the endorphins that our brains produce when we get our hearts pumping. So when we exercise, low-impact exercises such as walking, swimming, biking, or weightlifting, yoga, and also Pilates are just as effective when it comes to boosting your mood too. However, if you're a more mellow type of a person, you can try simply picturing peacefulness. When you feel tension throughout your body, calm those nerves by closing your eyes and picturing the most peaceful, beautiful place on the planet that you can imagine. Whether it's curling up in front of the fire, or lying on the beach, or staring at the moonlight, or listening to lapping waves and crickets, just the thought of something like this could bring you peace. So we are running out of time, and thank you for staying with me. Meet me after the break, because I'm done with the boring stuff now, and I'm going to talk about fun events on the weekend. Meet you then.
Sovereign land, oh, 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 oh.
So welcome back. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, and this is show Do's and Don'ts with DJ Double M. I've already discussed distant relationships, healthy diet, and studying tips and tricks in my last three segments, and now I'm moving on to the fun part. As I said, I have no doubt that we are all going to be stressed out and tired until the end of the week. So I decided to treat you guys with some fun places in San Francisco where you could go and check out. So I actually found some really cool and interesting stuff. So kick back and listen. I am going to start with some events that are unusual. Really unusual. And then I'm going to move on to the clubs in San Francisco, lounges in San Francisco, and dinner places in San Francisco. So this is for you Bay Area listeners. So on February 14th, yes, on the Valentine's Day, there is going to be a really untraditional event. This is surprising. A pillow fight. It is described like this: feathers will fly at this fun flash mob type event, which takes place on Valentine's Day, just as the Ferry Building clock tower strikes 6 p.m. It's pillow fight. Nearly 1,000 San Franciscans descend on Justin Herman Plaza with feather-stuffed pillows to run Braveheart-like at full speed at one another to lovingly beat the crap out of each other until the whistle blows. So the recommendations, if you decide to go here, are to bring a mask or a bandana to cover your mouth. It's easy to choke on flying feathers. Also, bring a synthetic pillow, not the one with the feathers, because it is much enjoyable that way. Bring a garbage bag, have fun, and then help clean up afterward. The price of having fun is keeping your city clean, and it makes it much less likely for the fuzz to shut down this thing. Also, before going there, do some push-ups. Build your arm strength, because your arms are going to be sore after this. And this is a good way to burn calories after eating all that chocolate for Valentine's Day. I would definitely go there, and maybe I will. If pillows aren't soft enough for you and you want something sweet tasting instead, I have just the offer for you: a chocolate tour. Oh my God, I would love that so much. I would love to get that kind of a present for Valentine's Day. So this thing is arranged by a company called Gourmet Walks. On this tour, you will learn about what makes fine chocolate and sample from a wide array of San Francisco gourmet chocolate boutiques. Your chocolate-obsessed guide will fill you in with the history of chocolate, its health benefits, and all the latest trends. Like checking high-quality chocolate out, new methods of its production, and exotic fillings and breathtaking chocolate packing wouldn't be enough. They also give all the guests a chocolate lover card, entitling you for discounts and VIP treatment at 10 different San Francisco chocolate boutiques. So make your Valentine's Day even sweeter and your girlfriend even happier. If you want to go to this event, buy tickets at www.gourmetwalks.com. It's www.gourmetwalks.com. Personally, I would love to get this gift. So let's move on to the clubs. If you're more of a club type of a person, I highly recommend to check out Infusion Lounge. I bet you've all already heard of it, but I will remind you that it's good every day. Like, literally, if you go there Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, whenever you go there, it's happening. Infusion Lounge is located in the heart of San Francisco's Union Square on 124 Ellis Street. And don't be frightened, it is possible to find a decent parking place. So Infusion is one of the best-ranked clubs in San Francisco for a reason. The management is great, and so is the interior design. They have nice VIP tables, good music, played by famous DJs, and the crowd is always fun too. There are no creeps, it's not a sketchy place, and it's a good place to go to dance and have fun with your girlfriends. It's also, they serve dinner, they have really good food, and there is also a hotel if you're interested in that for Valentine's Day. So Infusion is not going to disappoint you. So if you're planning to spend your Valentine's Day with your closest friends and dance your singleness away, or to go out with your boyfriend or girlfriend, you should definitely check that out. Don't forget to wear something nice, because they have a dress code. And if you will not satisfy the requirements, that means if you're going to come in wearing like sweatpants and a full cap, they are not going to let you in. So if you want to go, buy a ticket and reserve a VIP table online on their official website. Another good club is Vessel. It's always a good choice for those who prefer louder and heavier music than progressive house. It is also a nightclub located in the Union Square, and it has great sound and lighting system, world-class DJs, and entertainment. Here you also can get VIP table by booking a reservation online. The upcoming weekend is going to be great at Vessel. Some of my friends knows these DJs, and they told me to go. Too bad I can't, but maybe you guys will. On February 13th, Thursday, they have Chris Liebing, a German techno pioneer. And we all know that German DJs are the best in the world. Friday, on Valentine's Day, listen to Mike Famous and come to his new hot monthly event called Sound Addiction at Vessel. And Saturday is going to belong to Tal Sasha, a local San Francisco DJing legend and rising production star. So if you guys are over 21, have fun at Vessel for me, please. Harlot is located in downtown San Francisco at 46 Minute Street between Mission and Howard Streets. It's a nice place to have dinner and to party. I've been there for dinner, and Harlot, in comparison with other earlier mentioned clubs, is very unique. It's a place hard to describe, outstanding by its design, people, and aura, something you must see even if just for once. It requires to have a specific taste, however. So Harlot invites you to an event, Love Bitten and Love Snitten, with MOM DJs on the 14th of February. Thursday sounds like fun too. The Rocket Scientists are a non-stop high-energy duo, and the dance floor is always full when these guys are playing. Be prepared for a pleasantly shocking surprise, and don't forget to charge your phone, because you will want to take pictures, I promise you that. As far as clubbing goes, I personally always enjoy nights at Audio. Designed for dancing, Audio features a Function 1 sound system, centrally located sunken dance floor, and two bars. Audio is located on 11th Street. This place is also available for both private and corporate events. This upcoming weekend, Audio offers an event called Summertime All the Time with tropical disco house music on Friday. This sounds really good. Then they offer DJ Treasure Fingers, which is a really good DJ name, on Saturday, and the Bag Riders on Sunday. It is always classy and fun at Audio. Be prepared for a good dancing exercise if you go there, and I recommend do not wear heels. Grand is a club for those who fancy luxury. Dance the night away with the most energetic dance floor, surrounded by lavish VIP table seating with views of the entire nightclub from anywhere you sit. The Grand offers four bars and breathtaking interior design. This also goes only to those who are over 21, sadly. This weekend, Grand is inviting you to check all this out, and actually, it's a great place to celebrate Valentine's Day. If you and your other side are looking forward to a fancy dinner and an even more fancy club afterwards. So enjoy yourselves, and don't forget to check Grand's event calendar before going, because when I did, it wasn't there yet. The only place that can conquer with Grand is probably Starlight. The Starlight Room mixes old school glamour with present day pieces. For the ultimate San Francisco experience, 21 floors above the Sir Francis Drake Hotel. 21 floors above. That should be amazing. And as I always like to say, if you're looking for diversity, go to San Francisco. And as from the description, it seems that this place would be great for that experience. It's a great place to have fancy dinners, and it turns into a fun nightclub with a spectacular view at night. Starlight offers you not just a Valentine's night, but the whole Valentine's Day weekend. Check that out on their official website, and maybe this is going to be exactly what you are looking for. So, we're running out of time. I hope you enjoyed my show. Tune in next Tuesday from 12 to 1 p.m. I'll be waiting for you guys, and I'm gonna be sure to prepare more fun stuff for you to listen. Currently it's 5 minutes to 1 p.m. in San Rafael, and you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Have a wonderful week, guys.
Kitchen sink.